Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear the reading from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen. Obviously, it's the 4th of July weekend. And as we look in the history of our nation, we call this one the War for Independence, when we declared that as a country, long before any of us were around, that we would not be under Great Britain and under the king. There's another war that everybody knows about, the Civil War. The war of the states against the states. And in that one, 750,000 of the citizens of this country died. I don't know the numbers for the War of Independence, but really, both of them were civil wars, wars of people against each other. The anguish that came along already with the War of Independence, when good people had different ideas about how to live life as people on this land. And so there were those who turned out looking like traitors, both for the War of Independence, because they felt it was still better to stay under Great Britain, and others who were traitors who turned out to be the people who thought that the South and states' rights should be able to be as they are. In every age, in every place, there have been people who disagree. We do it now through the ballot box, and we've already heard more than we want to about the future of our own country. Yet somehow it has to go on, and some decisions will be made that we might not know about yet to make our way as an independent people. I'd like to use that as a background for the trouble that Paul has as he is writing to people in the churches of Galatia. For in essence, that also was a kind of a war going on. A war not fought necessarily with weapons, but with words and ideas. What's the proper way to live as people under God? What's the proper way to live as human beings? And there the war was between those who said what we do determines our relationship with God and those who said what Jesus Christ did when he died and he rose determines our relationship with God. Either we are saved by us doing battle with God and showing that we're on the right side and ought to be part of his army, or that we all recognize we're on the wrong side, can do nothing, have been defeated by Jesus Christ being defeated, as it were, dying on a cross to take all of our ideas about life and health and being crucified by his own Father to show that that way of life, the way where we can fight our own battles and win our own victories, just plain doesn't work. Well, what happened is, as Paul writes to the letter to the Galatians, he writes and he says, many of you are turning back to the other side. You're going back to the way you used to live, even though that could not work to make you at peace with God. You're going back to that, and you're thinking your victory is in getting other people to go back to do the same thing. Don't go fight that war again. It's over. It's done. We were defeated. And Christ, our representative, was defeated on our behalf if we think that somehow we can qualify for God's love and God's mercy. As human beings, we recognize that we try to do something, and if we accomplish something good, then someone gives us a reward. They might give us a document that says we graduated from kindergarten or from eighth grade or from high school or college or whatever. That someone says you've done some work, you've earned it, and that's the way it is in this world. We get a reward every time we get a paycheck. Somebody says, yep, you did it. You did some good work. Or even when we get a retirement check and someone says you did good work and we're continuing to support you for all the good work that you did. But before God, it doesn't work that way. Before God, as Paul will say here and elsewhere, everything is by God's grace, not by any merit or worthiness in us. So if we say on this weekend, we won against Great Britain, obviously none of us were in that fight. And there were many who died for that fight to be successful, and many died to keep our United States together. And many continue to have died and to die because of other battles that we continue to fight. But Paul would say here, this one battle is done. Don't crawl back into your uniform when you've already been given Christ's robe of righteousness. You are at peace with him. Nobody really talks to us that way completely. Nobody is ever completely settled with us. Nobody is ever at peace with everything we do and how we do it. There are always ideas that are going to come up where somebody says, well, you could try and do it this way, or why don't you try this, or why don't you try that? But with God, it comes to that wonderful peace. And so Paul is going to give instructions, but not instructions about how to get into that relationship, but instructions about life within it. Settle down over against one another and live at peace with one another. And so he starts out, and there's all sorts of little things that come here at the end, all sorts of different directions he goes. First of all, he says, now, there are people who are still going to act against God. They're going to sin. And you might think you're mightier than they are and better than they are, and you might come down hard on them. Shame on you for all the bad stuff you do. Without recognizing, none of us on this earth go without being tempted and falling into temptation. If we were to say, well, you must not be a Christian because of what you did, Then Paul says, you're denying the power of Christ's death and resurrection. It's needed to confess our sin, but it's not needed that somebody is going to beat us up for it because we've done something wrong. I had to think about this when I taught in our maximum security prison at Oak Park Heights. Was I going to come into the class and be mean to the students and be harsh and unloving? Or was I going to come in and say they were already in the circumstance of being punished by having their liberty taken away? At least we could talk about how life goes now. I had to think about that. Christians have to think about that. How do we deal with each other? Are we going to love each other, accept each other, encourage each other, remind each other that we have been graced by the Lord to have life everlasting? Or are we going to be at each other's neck and trying to find a way to make everybody else look good, even if we are not? The big thing, the big problem that was going on that Paul knew about was the Christians in Corinth, who had been Jewish in background and were then Jewish Christians, were saying everybody has to get circumcised. And Paul lets it out in a little section right between the two parts of what we heard today. He says, one of the reasons why you're happy that you're circumcised is because then nobody will think you're a Christian and they won't make trouble for you. So the Jewish faith was permitted in the Roman Empire. So if you look Jewish, then you save your neck. But Paul also says, you're trying to get other people circumcised and then trying to get them to see if they can perform to get into God's army, to get into God's kingdom, instead of to realize it's a new creation. We are in it already. And thus there are a variety of things that he will talk about. Bear each other's burdens. Love each other. Carry each other on your heart. Don't be looking for ways to push away from someone, but look for ways to draw close, to encourage, to settle, to remind others that Christ is Savior and Lord, that we're a new creation. He talks about the fact that we are not to grow weary in well-doing. We all know we've tried hard, very hard at times, and things didn't work the way we wanted them to. And we might be willing just to toss it all, give it all up. We all know that there are times in churches where we hurt each other, not always even knowing it. Sometimes someone will take something the wrong way and they're out of there, never to come back again. Others will keep coming back and saying, Lord, heal my heart as well and help me continue to honor you, praise you, and serve you and work with those who are fellow members in the kingdom. We know Satan can get in and cause a ruckus, but we need to know that we're all on the same side. That we're all part of that new creation, that God gives us the good news to settle us down and then to help us to grow in loving one another, carrying each other's burdens. And Paul says, there are troubles that come with it. He says, I've got marks on my body. I got beaten up because I'm a Christian. Even though I'm Jewish, I got beaten up anyway because I was telling the story of peace with God. Can you imagine that somebody could tell good news that God loves people forever and yet have somebody try to stop it? Well, look at the cross. Here's God himself in the flesh to let us all have perfect peace for all eternity. And the leaders of his day wanted to get rid of him. And everyone else except a couple of family members and a couple of friends forsook him and fled for their own lives. And yet he came to give us life everlasting. Paul says, don't go back into any other way of thinking. Don't be burdened with what you have not been able to do or to do. Rejoice that you've been given life everlasting, that we're on the victory side of all of this, and nothing will ever take that victory away. Not the harsh words of someone else, not the despair and the disappointment that we might feel as we look at things in this world. The spiritual things, Paul says, are things that will bring us peace. And thus, every day, we need to be reminded of that peace that God has given, that we're wrapped in something that lasts forever. the liberty that we have on this earth and in this country has to be won again and again. We have to continue to come back to what that is. But the liberty that we have been given in Christ is ours for life everlasting. And thus our Lord says, as you live out your life, celebrate that you can pour that grace and mercy out on others. That's where the power is. The power is in having been brought from death to life, from that new creation. And thus, in the midst of a world where we continue to face the challenges and problems, we need not be distraught and despair and wonder what the future holds. The future is peace with Him forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.